All right, good evening. Book of Ecclesiastes 7. Back to Ecclesiastes. We'll be back in Matthew and Ecclesiastes and back in 1 Corinthians. We'll read verses 20, chapter 7, verses 20 to 29. Ecclesiastes 7. 20 to 29, divers thoughts from the pen of King Solomon tonight. Verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others. All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied mine heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. And I find more bitter than death the woman, whose heart is snares and nets, and her hands as bands. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I not found. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your wisdom, Father, as we open up the truth of God's word. I pray that you would speak to us, Father, with my very limited and finite understanding of thy word. And yet I pray that you would open up your word, speak to us, admonish us, reprove us, correct us, encourage us, comfort us, Lord. Most of all, Father, I pray that you would increase our faith and that we would love you with all of our hearts. We'd love you more today than we did yesterday. Bless your people, Father. Be with those that couldn't be with us. We think of the sick, Gary, or Kathy and then Gary, who are in quarantine, and we think of Yvette. We think of little Charlotte and Father, any others. We think of Samuel with our brother Prim there in St. Louis. We pray for him. We think of our brother Jamie and his dad Ira. And we think of Lori, who's sick, and Father, for the grandbabies. We seek an audience with you. And now, Father, we pray that you would speak to us in your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, there are just men and women upon the earth that do good according to the world standards, but there aren't any just men and women upon earth that do good without sinning. Proverbs 20 and verse 9 says this, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? And there's no one that can say that in and of themselves. Now turn back to 2 Chronicles. Let me show you a passage there. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. Actually, verse 34. Chapter 6 and verse 34 of 2 Chronicles. If thy people go out to war against their enemies by the way that thou shalt send them, and they pray unto thee toward this city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not. That's what I wanted you to see. There's none that do not sin. And Solomon says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, by the world standards, we will see men of integrity and just men by the world standards, but there are no just men of earthly integrity, the best of men. Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. And there are none that do good and sin not. Again, maybe by the world standards, but not by the standards of God. Listen, there was only one just, capital J, man that ever lived upon the earth and who did not sin, and we know who that was. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn over to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. I'll show you that, where he is called the just. And listen, we ought to be able to prove these things by the Holy Scriptures. When we make a statement like that, that Jesus is the just one, we ought to be able to prove that. Just, capital J, he's the righteous one. He's the one that's done everything right. He is that only just man that ever lived upon the earth and that did not sin. Of course, Solomon's not talking about him. He's talking about fallen men. Chapter 3 and verse 23 of Romans. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace. He's talking about us sinners, believers, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And in Acts chapter 3 and 14, you don't have to turn there, but we read that this morning. Peter said, you denied the Holy One and the just, capital J, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. So, beloved, there is not one fallen son of Adam or daughter of Eve who is just and good without sin, like our Lord Jesus Christ was in the days of his flesh. Just and good you may be in the eyes of the world, but without sin you are not in the eyes of God, and that is all that counts in regards to your never-dying soul. Psalms 130, just listen. The psalmist says, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, that word mark means target them, find them. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? There's none of us that could stand, for there is none of us that are just upon the earth that doeth good and sin not. But Psalm 130 encourages us and says, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. So, beloved, if you would be just and good in the sight of God, you must possess that righteousness that was achieved by the obedience of Christ, given by him to you by faith in his life and death on the cross for your sins, and yea, from his resurrection from the dead. Now you're in Romans, turn over to Romans 5:19. So if you would be righteous in the sight of God, you need an alien righteousness, meaning you need a righteousness that comes from someplace else other than you, because we don't have it. And here is the righteousness that we believe, that we need, Romans 5:19. For as one man's disobedience, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. See, Christ, his righteousness, he merited. He was perfectly obedient, obeyed every jot and tittle of the law of God. And that is the righteousness that he gives unto us, brethren. And so there is not one just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Verses back to Ecclesiastes, verse 21 and 22. Moving right along, Ecclesiastes 7 and verses 21 and 22. Solomon here says, also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant, or anybody for that matter, curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise has cursed others. So take no heed here means lay not thine heart to all words that you hear spoken. And that is because there will be times, and I don't know if you've experienced this, I have, There will be times in which you will hear words spoken of you or to you that are hurtful and injurious, where people will speak words to hurt you. Or, as the text says, they'll curse you. Now, Solomon's telling us, don't lay it to heart. Now, think about why he's saying don't lay it to heart. He's saying don't lay it to heart because you've done it too, is basically what he's saying. And so we need to learn silence in these times. Look, King Saul, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10. King Saul actually practiced this before he took a few wrong turns and became a bad king. But this is when he was initially anointed to be the first king in Israel. This is Saul. 1 Samuel 10 and verse 26. It says, and Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he wisely held his peace. See, he held his peace. And that's how we ought to practice being spoken of or spoken about as he was. Now look at 2 Samuel 16. The second king in Israel, David. And you can remember when Absalom tried to usurp the kingdom from him. And David was leaving the kingdom with several of his loyal followers and of his subjects of his kingdom. In verse 5 of 2 Kings 16, it says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. So he's cursing David. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right side and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. He's calling him a devil, a wicked man. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And you can be assured that if David would have said go, he'd have took his head off. The king said, verse 10, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse. Because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And so we see two good examples of how we ought to behave when something that, like that happens in our lives. Now, one more, Psalm 38 and verse 8, the psalmist here, Psalm 38 and verse 8, also a psalm of David, or also of David. Psalm 38, 8, we see the scripture says, I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee. My groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it also is gone from me. My lovers and my friends stand aloof from my sore, and my kinsmen stand afar off. They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, and they that seek my hurt speak mischievous things and imagine deceits all the day long. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth there are no reproofs. In other words, he didn't argue with them. For in thee, Lord, do I hope. In thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. So, beloved, take no heed unto all words, as Solomon teaches, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. And then he says, for oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself hast cursed others. So the best course when you find yourself in such a case that you hear something is to let words and insults to you or about you pass. Lay them not to heart, but rather use that time when you hear those things to examine your own heart and confess your own sin from those times when you perhaps were the backbiter and spoke evil of another person. So we use those times. Brethren, we must learn from those times and learn from the humility of King David when this man's cursing him. And listen, he's the king. He was the king of Israel. He was the law. Abishai, he could have commanded Abishai to do as Abishai had desired, but David said, let him curse. And understand, there was something for David to learn in there. He says, listen, God's allowing this to happen. Let it be. And so that's what we need to do, brethren. Verses 23 and 24, Ecclesiastes 7, if you're back there, if you go back to Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 and verse 23 and 24, Solomon writes here, he says, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? I applied my heart to know and to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things that is in the world and to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. So Solomon, by the wisdom given unto him by God, he sought by wisdom to know and to seek out and to search out and to find out the meaning of life under the sun. It's as if God gave him a blank checkbook. Solomon asked for wisdom. God gave Solomon wisdom and riches and glory like no other kingdom of that day. And he applied his wisdom and he applied his heart by trying to be satisfied and fulfilled in this life by getting all that he could get of the world. He was going to get as much as he could get to see if there was any satisfaction in being the richest man in the world. Solomon literally could have whatever he wanted. He is what many people dream of today in the world. They want riches. And Solomon got it. Solomon got riches. He got houses. He got estates. He got vineyards. He got gardens. He got women. He got luxury. You name it, Solomon got it. And when it came to the end of his life and the time that we're getting to here in his life, he seems to have finally begun to discover that life in this world without God is vanity and vexation of spirit. You could get it all. And Solomon's, this is written so that we can see that you can get all you're going to get in the world, but it will never satisfy your soul. Listen, our lives don't consist in the abundance of earthly stuff. Look at Luke chapter 12. I think this New Testament passage speaks of what Solomon is saying. This is the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 12:15. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. See, Solomon, whatever he coveted, he got. Now, we live in the world, we can look at something and we might think, I want that, but you can't have it because you and I can't afford it. Solomon could have it all. And it says here, beware of this type of character or attitude, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, A ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, that means within his soul, he says, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. Notice this was a self-willed man. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to glorify God with this, but this is what I'm going to do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. I will store them all up for me. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool. See, the worldly person would say, That's a wise man building a big barn to store up all of his riches and save it all. God called him a fool. He says, This night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Solomon ended up laying up treasure for himself. Solomon said, All this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. See, Solomon, the wisest man that ever walked the planet, say Jesus Christ, with all that wisdom, he actually behaved in many ways like a fool. That which is far off, Solomon says, and exceeding deep, who can find out? And then back to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25, just to round that section out, he says, I applied mine heart to know and to search out and to seek out wisdom. Seek out wisdom and the reason of things, and to know the wickedness of folly, even the foolishness of madness. Foolishness and madness. And you think right there, you say, Why, Solomon? Why did you need to know that? He wanted to know why the fool was the way the fool was. He wanted to know why. He wanted to know madness. He wanted to know this, and he applied his heart to this. Why didn't he simply apply his heart to the things of God and the wisdom of God? Verse 26, he says, I find more bitter than death the woman whose heart is snares and nets and her hands is bands, shackles. Whoso pleaseth God shall escape her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Now, Solomon's not speaking absolutely of every woman. First, we must understand here that Solomon does not speak or describe the characteristics of a virtuous woman whose price is far above rubies. He is not speaking of a woman who fears the Lord. He does not speak of a Sarah or a Hannah or a Naomi or Naomi, or he doesn't speak of a Ruth, the Moabitish woman. He doesn't speak of Mary, the mother of Jesus. When Gabriel came to her, he says, Thou art highly favored toward God. It's not the type of woman Solomon's speaking of. Solomon wasn't speaking of a Lydia or of a Phoebe or of a Priscilla. He speaks of women whom Nehemiah described, women that Solomon surrounded himself with, and Nehemiah described them as outlandish women, sinful women who turned Solomon's heart away from his God. Look at that, Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13 and verse 26. One verse there, and then we'll go to 1 Kings. So Solomon's not talking about every woman. So ladies, don't get offended unless this is you. And then if this is you, and I don't think this is you, don't get angry, but change who you are. And remember, Solomon says, I find more bitter than death, the woman. Nehemiah 13:26, notice. The prophet Nehemiah here, did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? That is, because we'll back up to verse 23 to help you understand the context here. In those days also I saw Jews that had married wives of Ashdod and of Ammon and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them and cursed them and smote certain of them and plucked off their hair and made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Now back to 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 1. Oh, that Solomon would have been like Joseph, who was not a king, but who ran from the temptation of Potiphar's wife, who laid snares for him daily. Oh, that Solomon would have been wise like Joseph, but he was not in that respect. Notice verse 1, chapter 11, 1 Kings. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. Scripture says after that the Lord was angry with Solomon. But listen, Solomon knew enough here by personal experience that he fell into many traps of many women who turned his heart away from following the Lord. And here, I believe, he laments his own wickedness and his own sins, which he committed with women to be more bitter than death. And so, beloved, all of us need to take heed to Solomon's warnings. He has much to teach us in the Proverbs. Now, more about that in a moment, but let's read verses 27 through 29 of the text. So here Solomon says, I find more bitter than death the woman, but not absolutely every woman, because he writes of virtuous women, and we know there were very godly women in the Word of God. You ask yourself, why didn't he surround himself with one godly woman? Just one. He wrote wisdom about women that we take. It's the Word of God. But as it appears from the Scriptures, and even here, that Solomon personally knew not one. Look, verse 27. Behold, this have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found. I found one in a thousand. But a woman among all those have I not found. Now again, I don't think Solomon was saying here that there were no good and virtuous women. But what I do believe that he's saying here, he got to the point in his life and in his kingdom in which he looked at the thousand women that he had surrounded himself with. the 1,000 women of his court. Can you imagine that? Who are you? Well, I'm your wife. Oh. Which one? 600. Can you imagine that? 700 wives and princesses. And every one of those women whom he had foolishly married, among the 700 and among the 300 concubines, there was not one virtuous or wise woman in the lot of them. Not one. So I think Solomon's view, he had confined himself to his own court, and he looked about him and he saw not one. It's amazing. So listen, ladies, pattern your lives after that godly and virtuous woman whom Solomon describes for us in the Word of God. Look at Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Look at it. He writes this. You have to wonder, did you know any virtuous women, Solomon? Proverbs 31 and verse 10. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? It's as if he asked the question that he couldn't. He says, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, and her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And so we see the words of Solomon describing the virtuous woman. So Solomon says, I found one wise and honorable man among 1,000, but I found not one wise and honorable woman. So, verse 29, Ecclesiastes 7:29. This is the last thing that Solomon writes as we close chapter 7. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, and that is the man and the woman, but they have sought out many inventions. So, beloved, God made us in his own image and in his own likeness. He made us upright, but we sought out many inventions. To do what? Even now, brethren, as the song we sing, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. So we seek out many inventions. To do what? To turn away our hearts from God. What a statement to the darkness and depravity of our hearts without Christ. I think the prophet Isaiah said it best when he said, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to what? his or her own way. Lo, this only have I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. And so, beloved, take these diverse thoughts from King Solomon and take them to heart. Read through these passages in the Word of God. Gather wisdom so that we don't make the same foolish mistakes that the wisest man, the wisest mortal man, that is, that ever walked the planet, had made. And may God receive all the honor and glory. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage in Ecclesiastes 7. Oh Lord, I pray, Father, that you would teach us, oh God. Teach us to apply our hearts to the wisdom of the Word of God. Oh Father, teach us about who we should be in Christ, both men and women, oh God, that we would have that godly virtue about us, that godly wisdom. Father, help us. Help us, Heavenly Father. Help us not to seek out our own inventions, to seek our own way. But Father, help us to walk in the ways of the Lord, to walk in your ways, oh God. As you said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Help us, Lord. May that be us, O God. We ask it of thee. Bless your people now as we go to our homes. Father, be with those that couldn't be with us that are sick. Once again, we remember Kathy. We pray for a quick healing. We pray for Gary as he cares for her and for Yvette. We pray for the little ones that are sick. And Father, we remember Jamie and Lori, and we remember Ira. We pray for them. We remember Samuel. Lord, I pray that you would do your work. We're encouraged to hear the news of young Samuel today. We ask that you'd raise him up. And Father, we're so thankful for that. Bless your people now as we go to our homes. May you receive all the honor and glory from our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.